He kept crunching the numbers, and as he did, nothing got better. More and more, he just felt a sense of despair over what had taken place in his family. Around the corner, a high school student was debating on whether or not she should just give up and quit. It was too much to face all the pressure that was always there every day she went to school. Across town, he hardly knew what to do as he watched his wife whittle away to nothing. He felt like he was so mistreated by God. Over and over, he thought, how unfair it is for my wife to go first. It's not supposed to end this way. How many ways in your life and my life can we be moved to that place of despair? To just give up and give in, throw in the towel, and just say that's the way the cookie crumbles. How many ways? It's nothing new. In our gospel reading, we hear how John sends, by the agency of his disciples, his followers, a question for Jesus. Now, theologians over the centuries have discussed whether or not it was John who was having the doubts or his disciples who were having the doubts. The dia in the Greek kind of indicates agency. Through his disciples, this was John's question: are you the coming one, or should we look for another? Certainly, it wasn't going too well for John the Baptizer. Is incarceration a part of the gift of salvation? Is all the frustration and all the different opinions about Jesus a part of salvation? Certainly, we can understand why John and his disciples, in my opinion, were all struggling with what Jesus was about. It wasn't the way they thought it would be. And we can relate. How many ways can you and I look at what's going on around us and think, where are you, God, in all of this? How many ways can we look at the circumstances in our life and think, what gives? I mean, I've prayed about this. I've done my best to live in a godly way, and this is the way it's going to work out? I mean, even today, visiting my mom before the first service, where is God in all of this? Why do I have to go through this? I don't know. I'm sorry. I mean, when people have bad things happen to them, how many times do they hear from other people, just get over it, suck it up, deal with it? How many children have been told not to cry when perhaps that's the most important thing they should do? And then talk about it with mom or talk about it with dad. There's a place to acknowledge the pain that people are going through around us if they are honest enough to admit it, that it isn't going so well. Of course, to those who are dealing with these things, just like in John's day, what did Jesus say? Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk. He's pointing all the way back to Isaiah 35. Not to the landscape of West Texas and the desert it is, but to the deserts of our lives, where we can grow parched and dry, where we can finally think to ourselves, what's the use? And all of our fruit dries up and wastes away. It is to this property that Isaiah tells us the good news. How did he say it? Say to those who have anxious hearts, and how many ways can you and I grow anxious? How many ways? Say to those who have anxious hearts, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come and save you. To our parched and dry lives, Jesus would come with vengeance to deal with sin, death, and the power of the devil. Hey, God, beat the hell out of them. Sin, death, and the power of the devil. Because those are the things that dry up our lives and make us want to give up and give in to despair. And that's what Jesus was reminding John. That's what he was doing. Reminding John. As much as the circumstances that John was facing were bad, Jesus had come to fulfill what God had promised. I had a friend in high school who wore a hat, "Life sucks and then you die." You know, yeah. Yeah. That's the way it can be in high school. Some of you who have been in high school know that. Some of you have forgotten it. Well, I suppose that's good that that wasteland has disappeared from your life. He is a believer now, thank the Lord. But I never wore the hat, but I certainly felt the same way in a lot of ways. And there are times when looking at the world, you think, what's going on? But this is such good news today. To hear how Jesus deals with the trauma of John and his disciples, and then tells them the good news. What was promised to the desert long ago, and this desert now. What God would do sending his son. I mean, how many ways do we get battered and smashed by sin? How many ways does the devil, with all his deception and all of his lies, make a mess of your day and my day? How many ways does death still mess with you and mess with me? And that's what Jesus has come to do. Again, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God, and he will come and save you. And that was done long ago when Jesus came to our rescue, to rescue us from all those things that dry up and parch our lives. At least John and his disciples were talking to the right one. Where are you hurting? Where does it not make sense? Where do you think God is not big enough or strong enough to deal with whatever you're going through? It may seem a bit strange. It may seem like an unlikely gift, but that's the very thing you are to give to him. When my kids were little, they brought all kinds of stuff to me to fix. And I could fix a lot of things. But interestingly enough, I would have to say, give it to me. No, let me take it out of your hand. I can't use the drill. I can't use the glue gun. I can't whatever. How many ways do we hold on to the things that are just drying us up and parching us, and we really need to say, Lord, I need to give this to you. Take it out of my hands. Take it out of my hands and fix it so that even in this place in my life, I can bloom with hope and peace and joy. It may seem like an unlikely gift, but that's the very reason why Jesus came. And that's why Jesus comes to you and me today to help us with where it hurts, where it doesn't make sense, where it looks like God is not up to the task. You know, Jesus said, and this is an important thing, not only for John and his followers long ago, but he says, go and tell John what you see and hear. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me. How many ways are we blind? How many ways are we lame? How many ways are we poor? And who comes to our rescue? Nonetheless, just like in John's day. But it's important for us to trust in his care, no matter what we see, or no matter how it looks. Trusting that giving him this unlikely gift of whatever and whatever across what the subjects, the issues, give them all to him and trust that he is making things new. But we need to trust in him. Here's how Jesus says it. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me. How many ways can we in our heart of hearts become offended with Jesus because he doesn't act quick enough or do it well enough? Not understanding that he is fixing things differently than what we understand, and even better. Look, my kids hardly bring anything to me. I find myself more often now asking them for help. But in truth, I'm a pretty pathetic repairman. But our Savior is much better. And what you and I are learning about, no matter where we are in our life, no matter how young or old we are, even if we're 93 and have a hip fracture, we're learning what it means to give God our unlikely gifts, knowing that in his hands there is plenty of hope, and we can have peace waiting for him to bless, rejoicing in what he's done, what he willingly has done for our salvation. Our joy in the Lord is now, and he gives us a view far beyond to where we'll have nothing but joy when he makes all things new, and that'll be forever. Until that time, whenever you need to, give all those things that are robbing you of the blooms of salvation so that you can be healed and that you can rejoice in the unlikely gifts you give to God that seem so different and yet are perfect for the one who loves us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.